Welcome to Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Sam. Welcome again this Sunday morning. I just finished posting the part 4A on Thyatira, and we're going to continue a part B on the church to Thyatira. So this is, again, Christ Desires You to Overcome, part 4B. And previously we went through and talked a lot about what the issue was with that church, focusing a lot on the woman Jezebel and, you know, committing adultery, spiritual adultery, because that's what it is when he said in verse 22, committing adultery. Now we're going to continue. I was just going to put a lot of this into the notes, but I decided I'm just going to do another episode to extend this and talk about, you know, the aspect of when he says, I'm he who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each of you according to your deeds. And then also just briefly discussing the morning star at the end. So let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Father, I thank you for those who are hungry and thirsty for your word. I thank you, Father, that they have a desire to read and to study and to meditate on it. But Father, more importantly, you must be the one that leads and convicts and reveals. Father, you are the only one that can draw a man to yourself. And Father, we know that there's a lot of false teaching in the world. But we know that those who hold the truth, they aren't going to contradict your word. We know that there's so much of it. And that's why when a lot of people speak, they seem to come to a conclusion, but yet other parts of scripture contradicts what they say. But we know that when we come to the full understanding of all truth in scripture, there'll be harmony in everything. And Father, your word is so complicated, yet so simple. Your spirit makes it simple. Your spirit gives us eyes to see and ears to hear. Father, I pray this morning that as we come together here and those that are listening, that you do give them eyes to see and ears to hear. Father, I do command in the name of Jesus for evil to flee as the devil seeking to steal the words as they're spoken. And that you watch over these seeds, your word of God implanted, that they grow and they sprout. Father, bless the time that we have in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so the message to the Church of Thyatira, continuing from the part A, here I want to start with verse 23, we're in Revelation chapter 2. So he says, and I will kill her children with death or pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. And so I want to look at that. You know, the Bible has you know, that phrase and is used in other places and the focus about, you know, deeds. And so I want to take a look at that today. So starting off, let's go and let's look at, let's start in Ezekiel. Now Ezekiel, and we're going to turn to chapter 18. Ezekiel chapter 18, a very powerful book. Chapter 18 is a very powerful chapter. Now, in verse 30 of chapter 18, it says, therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, each according to his deeds, declares Lord Yahweh. Repent and turn away from all your transgressions, so that iniquity might not become a stumbling block to you. Remember, sin, if it's not dealt with, will become a stumbling block and will lead to your ruin, the destruction of your soul. We covered that specifically in part 3 in the Church of Pergamum. Listen to that. I don't think we came here to Ezekiel, but Ezekiel again warns about the stumbling. But the key is verse 31. Cast away from you all your transgressions which you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit, for why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares Lord Yahweh. Therefore, repent and live. You know, Jesus came declaring repentance for the forgiveness of sins. A true repentance is what is required to live. But the churches today are preaching this half-truth of the Nicolaitans or the prophetess Jezebel, claiming that you can serve God, but yet still have sin in your life because you can never be free of it. That's a lie of the devil. That is a deep thing of Satan. Now, if you back up in the beginning of Ezekiel chapter 18, in verse 4 he says, "Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins will die. But if a man is righteous, and he practices justice, and practices righteousness, and he goes through and says he doesn't do all these things. In verse 9, if he continues to walk in my statutes and ordinances so as to deal faithfully with me, he is righteous and he will surely live, declares Lord Yahweh. But if a man who has a son, he commits sin," as you go on and read, it says that he will not live, but he will be put to death. And it goes through in contrast, a son who has somebody who's righteous and then someone who sins. And in the end, again, he says in verse 17, "The one who keeps his hand from the poor does not take interest or increase, but executes my ordinances and walks in my statutes. He will not die for his father's sin. He will surely live." Verse 18, "For as his father, because he practiced extortion, robbed his brother, did what was not good among his people, behold, he will die for his sin." Verse 19, "Yet you say, why should the son not bear the punishment of the father's iniquity when the son has practiced justice and the son practiced righteousness and the son has observed all my statutes and done them all? He shall surely live. The soul who sins will die. The son will not bear the punishment for the father's iniquity, nor will the father bear the punishment for the son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself. If the wicked man turns," this is a true repentance, "from all his sins," true repentance, "which he has committed, and he observes my statutes, and practices justice, and practices righteousness, he shall surely live. He shall not die." What is your life? Have you turned from all your sins? Or do you still do both? Do you still do both deeds and you're that spiritual adulteress that we talked about in part 4a? "All his transgressions which he previously committed will not be remembered against him because of his righteousness which he has practiced. He shall live." It's not just a cloak, people. It's so much more than a cloak. It is a changed life with different fruit. The forgiveness is for the past sins, not to continue in sin. Verse 23, "Do I have any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares Lord Yahweh? Rather that he turn or repent from his ways so that he lives. But when a righteous man, who's become a righteous man, turns away from his righteousness and goes back and commits iniquity and does according to the abominations of a wicked man, will he live? No. All his righteous deeds which he has done will not be remembered, and for his treachery which he has committed, and for his sin which he has committed, for them he will die." And yet I know what some of you are thinking. You're probably thinking, "But Sam, that's an impossible message. That's not right. That's not right. That's not right. That's not the true message." Well, God knew some of you would say that. So he says in verse 25, "Yet you will say, the way of the Lord is not right. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not right? Is it not your ways that are not right?" When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness and goes and commits iniquity and dies because of it, it is for his iniquity which he has committed that he will die. Again, when a wicked man turns from his wickedness which he has committed, and he now practices justice, and he now practices righteousness, he is the one that will save his life. Because he considered and turned away from all his transgressions which he had previously committed. He shall surely live. He shall not die. But again, just as then as today, the house of Israel says, "But the way of the Lord is not right. Are my ways not right, O house of Israel? Is it not your ways that are not right? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel. I will judge each of you according to his deeds, declares Lord Yahweh. Therefore, repent and turn away from all your sins, so that iniquity might not become a stumbling block to you. Cast away from you all your sins which you have committed, and go get a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, declares Lord Yahweh. Therefore, repent and live. You see, people, the only way that you can do the deeds or the work of God is through a true repentance through faith that not only gives you forgiveness, but a cleansing of all sin and unrighteousness in you. A spiritual to be crucified spiritually and sin be destroyed in your life, so that you receive the promise and the gift of the Holy Spirit through faith, so you can now walk a new life bearing only one kind of fruit, to practice righteousness and practice justice so that your soul will live. It's the result of someone who has come to a true faith. But if your faith is not aligned with this message and you say the way of the Lord is not right, well, that's why you haven't become a child of God yet. That's why you're still an infant in Christ and you have not received sonship. You don't have the Spirit of God. You have not received power. That's why you cannot live this life until you agree that this is a life that God requires. For some of you, that would mean that you'd have to admit that you still are not a Christian. For some of you, your pridefulness will prevent you from confessing that. And that pride will prevent you from humbling yourself and being blessed of God. Some of you will humble yourself. You'll realize, wow, this is profound. I have to meditate on this. I pray you do. I pray the Spirit convicts you. Again, please, if you have questions, reach out to us in the email in the description. Warriors4ChristYT@gmail.com. Reach out to us. We have many people who can talk to you. You can make a request. You know, me, young man, young woman, old man, old woman. It doesn't matter. Anybody. And we can get you connected. Okay. So that's Ezekiel. Some other passages I want to look at. In Jeremiah. Oh, Jeremiah, such a good book. We did an episode on the whole book of Jeremiah. Really good. It gets about the whole covenant of the salvation for Gentiles through faith in Christ and what he did. The promise in the book of Hebrews to the Gentiles is all comes from Jeremiah chapter 31. So in Jeremiah, let's see. I want to look at chapter 4 and share some passages. In chapter 4, you talk again about true repentance. It says, if you return, O Israel, declares Yahweh, then you should return to me. And if you put away your detestable things from my presence, if you will not waver. Listen, people, all sin is detestable to God. He wants it all put away, but only he can take it away, not you. It's not by trying. It's through faith and dying to self and let God do the death. Verse 2. And if you swear as Yahweh lives in truth and justice and in righteousness, then nations will bless themselves in him, and in him they will glory. And I praise God that that has been granted through Jesus, that today the nations can bless themselves and Lord God Almighty. Because through his son Jesus Christ, we now have access to him. Verse 3. For thus says Yahweh to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among the thorns. Circumcise yourselves to Yahweh and remove the foreskins of your heart, men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Or else my wrath will go forth like fire and burn with none to quench because of the evil of your deeds. Because they still had evil deeds. They hadn't received the circumcised heart that we discussed in part 4a episode of Romans chapter 2, verse 29 and 28. That hadn't happened yet. But it's a promise God wants to do. If you don't, then you're going to have deeds that are going to bring the wrath of God upon you because you still have evil. But he wants you to be washed. Verse 14, wash your heart from evil, O Jerusalem, so that you might be saved. How long will your wicked thoughts lodge within you? Again, it's Jesus that said, it's the wicked thoughts within you that still defile you. You still have evil thoughts, you're still the defiled person. Your heart still needs to be washed from evil. It needs to be circumcised. You need the new heart and the new spirit that Ezekiel talked about. The same thing Israel needed, it's the same things that we need. Abraham found it. He found the righteousness that comes through faith and the circumcised heart. Some Jews found it. Some people before found it. It's always existed, even before the law of the commandments. It's nothing new. But the problem is, verse 22, my people are foolish. They do not know me. They are stupid children. They have no understanding. They are shrewd to do evil. But to do good, they do not know. You know, that reminds me of the passage in Romans chapter 7. I think it starts in verse 14. Paul, when he starts off saying when he was a slave to sin, he didn't understand. He says he didn't understand. The good that he wanted to do, he did not do, but he continued to practice the very thing that he hated, proving that sin still lived within him. He didn't understand. It's because he was a man that was still a slave of sin. He hadn't been spiritually crucified yet, but people cling to that second half because of ignorance. Now, in part 4A episode, I posted some links to Overcoming Sin, The War of the Flesh. Listen to that episode. It goes through it in depth. Please, you must understand all of Scripture to be set free. Oh, there's so much. I really desire just to sit here and read this whole book of Jeremiah, but we've already done that. So I'm just going to continue to go through some of the passages here. Chapter 17. Still in Jeremiah. Turn over to chapter 17. In verse 1. He says, the sin of Judah is written down with an iron stylus. With a diamond point, it is engraved upon the tablet of the heart. You see, this is why we have to get a new heart. We're all born with that wicked heart, sin engraved upon it. Our own heart leads us into sin. We war against our own thoughts. That's the problem that has to be removed. You have to get the new heart and the new spirit. And verse 9 says, the heart is more deceitful than all else. It's desperately sick. Who can understand it? But I, Yahweh, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his deeds, or according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. That's what God says. This is not a new concept. It's something that's always been there. As I turn over into Jeremiah chapter 18, this is the story of the potter, where God gives his definition of the story of the potter. Some people get parts of the definition in different places in the New Testament, but the full comprehensive story is right here in chapter 18. But I want to point out a couple things, again, that goes to the fact of God's going to look at the deeds as an indication of what the condition of a person's heart is, and that's how he's going to judge them. He says in verse 6, can I not, O house of Israel, deal with you as this potter does? At one moment I may speak concerning a nation or a kingdom to uproot, to pull it down, or to destroy it. He's going to destroy. He promises to destroy. But then there's an if. But if that nation against which I have spoken against repents and turns from its evil, then I will relent concerning the calamity that I plan to bring on it. See, that's somebody who comes to true repentance. Then God will change his plan of destruction. Or at another moment, I may speak concerning a nation or concerning a kingdom to build it up or to plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, evil deeds, and does not obey my voice, then I will think better of the good with which I had promised to bless it, and he'll go on and destroy it. So now then, speak to the men of Judah, and speak against the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says Yahweh, Behold, I am fashioning calamity, destruction against you. I'm devising a plan against you. Oh, turn back. This is the repent. Each of you from his evil way, and reform your ways and your deeds, because we know that God's going to judge you for them. So he says in verse 12, But they will say, It is hopeless. We are going to follow our own plans, and each of us will act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. You know, this gets back to what we read in Ezekiel chapter 18. Now, people won't defiantly say that. They won't defiantly say, Oh God, your ways are not right. But they do that in their heart when they refuse to accept the truth of God. That's what God sees. That's what God sees in the condition of their heart when they're stubborn and they don't come into that true repentance. You see, God wants to turn you from your evil deeds. God wants to bring good to you. Because he doesn't want you to be judged according to your evil deeds. Another passage as I'm here looking through Jeremiah, I'm just kind of flipping my book and passages are standing out. Jeremiah chapter 24 and verse 6. He says, For I will set my eyes on them for good, and I will bring them again into this land, and I will build them up, and I will not overthrow them. I will plant them, and I will not pluck them up. Well, now, why is that? Why would God do that? Well, it's conditional. You see, he's going to do something. Remember, we keep saying that they have to get that new heart. Well, verse 7, I will give them a heart to know me, for I am Yahweh. And they will be my people, and I will be their God, and they will return to me with their whole heart. You see, you cannot say you've come to know him. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 3, it says, By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, Oh, but I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. It doesn't matter what you say. What it comes down to is it matters what you do. God will judge you and test what's in your heart by looking at the fruit of it. A good heart only produces good fruit, people. What is God going to find? What is he going to find? As you continue in chapter 25, Verse 3, it says, From the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, even to this day, these 23 years, the word of Yahweh has come to me, and I have spoken to you again and again, but you have not listened. And Yahweh has sent you all his servants, the prophets, again and again, but you have not listened, nor have you inclined your ear to hear. Remember what we've been reading in Revelation? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You think this was a different spirit speaking here? Do you have an ear to hear? Saying, Turn now everyone from his evil way and from the evil of your deeds and dwell in the land which Yahweh has given to you and your forefathers forever and ever. But, verse 7, you have not listened to me, declares Yahweh, in order that you might provoke me to anger with the work of your hands to your own harm. Therefore, thus says Yahweh of hosts, because you have not obeyed my words, behold, I will send all the families of the north, declares Yahweh. I will send Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant, and he will bring against this land and against its inhabitants and against all these nations round about, and I will utterly destroy them and make them a horror and a hissing and an everlasting desolation. The question is for you. Are you going to heed these words? Are you going to take it to heart? Are you going to hear? God is going to judge according to your deeds. That's why you must repent and amend and change your ways and your deeds. You can only do that with a new heart and a new spirit. continues. Chapter 26. Verse 3, perhaps they will listen. Perhaps everyone will turn from his evil way. As God says, that I might repent of the calamity which I am planning to do to them because of the evil of their deeds. And you will say to this people, thus says Yahweh, if you will not listen to me, if you will not walk in my law, which I have set before you, to listen to the words of my servants, the prophets, whom I've been sending to you again and again, but you have not listened, then I'll make this house like Shiloh, and the city I'll make a curse to all the nations of the earth. He goes on in verse 13 and says, now therefore amend your ways and your deeds and obey the voice of Yahweh your God. And Yahweh will change his mind about the misfortune which he has pronounced against you. You see, God is a loving God. He will change the destruction that he has upon you, that you were born into the world with a bad heart. Only if you compete according to his rules and his ways, not man's doctrine, not man's lying doctrine of God. I pray that you're seeing this. Flipping over farther into Jeremiah. We're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 32. And in Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 19, he says, for after I turned back, I repented. And after I was instructed, I smote my thigh, and I was ashamed, and I was humiliated, because I bore the reproach of my youth. And so here, I'm sorry, I was in chapter 31. I meant to be in chapter 32. But I want to jump here, still in chapter 31. I want to read verse 27 forward. Behold, days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with a seed of men, and the seed of beast. It will come about that as I have watched over them to pluck them up and break them down, to overthrow and to destroy, to bring disaster, so I will still watch over them to build up and to plant, declares Yahweh. In those days they will not say again, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge, but everyone will die for his own sin. Each man who eats the sour grapes, his teeth will be set on edge. Behold, the days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant I made with their fathers in the day which I took them by the hand out of the land of Egypt, for my covenant which they broke, even though I was a husband to them. But this is the covenant which I will make in a house of, with the house of Israel in those days, declares Yahweh. I'll put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They shall not teach again any man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know Yahweh. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares Yahweh. And I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. But see, again, the conditions. They have to get the new heart. A new heart that God writes upon it. Now, turning to chapter 32, referring to Yahweh of hosts, the great and mighty God, he says, great in counsel and mighty indeed, whose eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, giving to everyone according to his ways and according to the fruits of his deeds. As you continue in verse 23, it talks about Israel when they came in and took possession of the land. Verse 23, they came in and took possession of it, but they did not obey your voice. They did not walk in your law. They have done nothing of all that you commanded them to do. Therefore, you have made all this destruction to come upon them. In verse 31, he says, indeed, the city has been to me a provocation of my anger? And my wrath from the day that they built it, even to this day, so that it should be removed from before my face. Because of all the evil of the sons of Israel and the sons of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they and their kings, their leaders, their priests, their prophets, the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they have turned their back to me and not their face. Although I taught them, teaching them again and again, but they would not receive instruction. And so again, that kind of goes back to us. What type of people are we? What is the deeds that we are performing? So because they didn't do good, he says in verse 37, behold, I will gather them out of the lands to which I have driven them in my anger. And he drove them there in his anger because of their sin. And in my wrath and in great indignation, but I will bring them back to this place to make them dwell in safety, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me always to their own good and for the good of their children after them. Gets back to that new heart. You have to get that new heart. And it's a consistent message that you see. It's a consistent message. All right, next I want to turn over to Psalm chapter 7. And in Psalm chapter 7, let's look at verse 8 through verse 12. Yahweh judges the people. Vindicate me, O Yahweh, according to my righteousness, according to my integrity that is in me. Oh, let the evil of the wicked come to an end, but establish the righteous. For the righteous, God tries or tests the hearts and the minds. My shield is with God, who saves the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge and a God who has indignation every day. If a man does not repent, he will sharpen his sword. Again, what deeds are you doing? Did you truly come into repentance? You cannot come into true repentance unless you've got that new heart, the upright in heart. And you walk in that way. This is what God desires. This is what he looks for. Psalm 18, Psalm chapter 18, verse 19 to 26. He brought me forth into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Yahweh has rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanliness of my hands, he has repaid me. Again, this isn't something that is done by our own effort. This is something that is done through faith. So God does this work so that we can walk in righteousness. But it is granted to us. Verse 21, for I have kept the ways of Yahweh. I have not wickedly departed from my God, for all his ordinances were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also blameless with him. I kept myself from my sin. Therefore, Yahweh has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanliness of my hands and his eyes. With the kind you show yourself kind. With the blameless, you show yourself blameless, and with the pure, you show yourself pure. Psalm chapter 26. Vindicate me, O Yahweh, for I have walked in integrity. I have trusted in Yahweh without wavering. See, this sounds like those churches that endure people that we're reading about in Revelation. How they started good, but right, you have to finish well. Test my mind, or verse 2, examine me, O Yahweh, and try me. Test my mind and my heart, for your loving kindness is always before my eyes, and I have walked in your truth. He walked in your truth. It's beyond believing. It's a true belief is a walking, a living in power by the Spirit of God. Verse 4, I do not sit with deceitful men. I do not go with pretenders, those who think they serve God but are false. I hate the assembly of evildoers. I will not sit with the wicked. I shall wash my hands in innocence, and I will go about your altar, O Yahweh, that I might proclaim with a voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. O Yahweh, I love that habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not take away my soul with the sinners. Do not take away my life with the men of bloodshed, in whose hand is a wicked scheme, whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be gracious to me, for my foot stands on a level place. In the congregations I shall bless Yahweh. In Matthew, Jesus, when he speaks, chapter 16, it comes down to, have you truly found him? Chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. He must take up his cross and he must follow me. Have you been spiritually crucified? Are you still struggling with desires of the world? How can you say you've taken up your cross and you're following him? How can you say you've denied yourself? Only the Spirit of God can do that work. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? The Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he will repay every man according to his deeds. What deeds are you producing? Are you producing the fruit of the Spirit? The good tree that only bears one kind of fruit? Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. The kindness of God is supposed to do something in our life. Verse 4. Do you think lightly of the riches of God's kindness and tolerance and his patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you're storing up wrath for yourself in the day of the wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. God will render to each person according to his deeds. We've heard that before, haven't we? Those who by perseverance and continuing to do good, they seek glory, honor, and immortality. They get eternal life. But they're doing the good fruit. But what about those who produce the bad fruit? They don't obey and walk in God's ways. Well, verse 8, but those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, they get wrath and indignation. For there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who's doing evil. The Jew first and also the Greek. Are you still doing evil? Then you have nothing but tribulation for your soul. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who is doing good. The Jew first and also the Greek. He goes on to say in verse 13, it's not the hearers of the law that are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. It gets back to, are you still under the law because you're a lawbreaker? Or have you become a point where you're walking in the law of liberty and of freedom by the Spirit? So that now you no longer break the law. Continuing over to John. I'm going to go to John chapter 5. And in John chapter 5, talks about Jesus. And that Jesus, there is going to be a resurrection. And the Father, in verse 27, gave Jesus authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice, and they will come forth. To those who did good deeds, they'll come forth to a resurrection of life. Those committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. Which judgment are you looking forward to? Which judgment are you going to receive? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says in verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be repaid for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. The question is, who's living in you? Are you still living in the flesh? We talked about that if you're living in the flesh, you're going to die. It's only those who are led by the Spirit of God that are sons of God. You find that in Romans chapter 8. Actually, I want to go back and read that. That's such a good passage. Verse 12 through verse 14. So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh according to live according to the flesh. If you're living according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. For it's all those who are being led by the Spirit of God. These are the sons of God. What are you led by? Don't be deceived. You cannot continue to bear two kinds of fruit. Don't listen to the liars. They're deceiving you. The question is, back to 2 Corinthians, are you the true creation, the new creation? You see, Jesus died. Verse 14. The love of Christ controls us. That's if it's in you. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. All those who were spiritually baptized and crucified into Christ, as discussed in Romans chapter 6. And Jesus died for all, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but they now live for Jesus, who died and rose again on their behalf. Who are you living for in all your aspects of your life? Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, big if, well, that person's a new creation. Old things have passed away for that person. Behold, new things have come for that person. Is that you? Revelation chapter 20. All the way in the back. In Revelation chapter 20. Starting in verse 12. And I saw the dead and the great and the small standing before the throne, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were all judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. So with that, I'll leave you with one of the final words that Jesus said here in Revelation before we move on to talking about the morning star. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 11 through verse 12, he says, let the one who does wrong still do wrong. Let the one who is filthy still be filthy. Let the one who is righteous still practice righteousness. And the one who is holy still keep himself holy or sanctified. Behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me to render to every man according to his deeds or work. If anybody tells you differently, they're liars. Now, there's two podcasts I'm going to be adding into the description. One is, Do You Know How God Will Judge You According to Your Deeds? It's an episode that goes through that this in more comprehensive. And then also another episode called Once Saved, Always Saved. God says if you endure to the end. Now, real quick, I want to just touch on a couple passages about the morning star. Because if you remember back in Revelation chapter 2, to the Thyatira, Jesus at the end of the one who overcomes, he says in verse 28, and I will give him the morning star. I will give him the morning star. And some people are like, what does that mean? What does that really mean? Well, I'll point out some other passages for you to reflect on. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, again, Jesus says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David. I am the bright morning star. Jesus is in heaven right now. He has received all the glory that he had before the world was, as he's been glorified in his heavenly state. He is the bright morning star. He is that which brings light, the final light. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. And we know that, again, you know, Christ is the morning star. He needs to live inside of us in our heart. And one day we will also put on that similar, same glory. Now, we currently are to be filled with all the fullness of deity that Jesus had here on this earth. And we've done episodes on that. But there's going to be another glory that we put on, as Jesus put on another glory as the morning star when he ascended into heaven. When you look at 1 Corinthians, we'll end with this passage, it talks about the glory, this additional glory that we are to receive, even though that we currently have the fullness of God in us for those who have been born again and crucified with Christ and baptized in the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there is another glory that's to be received at the end of the age. Chapter 15, starting in verse 40. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is one and the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon, another glory of stars. For the stars differ from star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body, but it is raised an imperishable body. We are sown in dishonor, but we are raised in glory. We are sown in weakness, raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. So also it's written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural is first, and then the spiritual. The first man is from the earth, earthy, but the second man is from heaven. As is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy, and as is the heavenly, so are those who are heavenly. For just as we have borne currently the image of the earthly, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. I say this, beloved, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit imperishable. And so basically what he's saying is we will receive another glory, even though for those who are sons of God have the Spirit of God living in them now, and they are one with the Father and one with the Son, there is another glory to put on when we enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 51, behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. This perishable must put on imperishable, and this immortal must put on immortality. And that is the hope, and that is what we wait for. Father, I thank you for your word. And Father, just as for some, Christ is currently shining and living in their heart, and it's being manifested by the good fruit that they produce, by the fruit of the Spirit. So also there's a day of glory coming when the bodies of this earthly state will be put on to immortality. And Father, all this is from you. Both the new heart, the new spirit, and the new life that we can live today, to bear one kind of fruit, to glorify and you honor you and serve one master, our Lord Jesus Christ. And also the life of immortality that we will put on at his coming. For those who will be judged according to their deeds, if their work is a proof of the faith that is in them, that produces the good fruit, the good deeds. I thank you, Father, that it's all from you and that it's an easy yoke and the burden is light. And Father, I'm convicted to read one passage as we close in prayer. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Father, I thank you, O God, that through that we can overcome the world, because it's you living in us. Be glorified in our lives, O Father. Let your word multiply and grow and transform the lives of men. In Jesus' name, amen.